the Storm.
I just called to let you know I'll have to stay in New York until tomorrow.
Oh, Philip, what a shame. In this beastly weather, too.
Philip makes an incomplete explanation of his absence, and Christy spends an unexpectedly pleasant evening without him. Today, we bring you another chapter of Against the Storm, written by Sandra Michael and presented by the makers of Ivory Soap. First, Ivory Soap presents Greetings to Babies. Today, Ivory Soap is greeting another baby in its brigade of junior Ivory Soap salesmen. We're greeting little Master John Lawrence Aston, 17 months old, who lives way out in Los Gatos, California. And say, John Lawrence has already decided that he wants the ladies in his family to have soft, smooth hands. Yep, he's just like all the rest of us men about that. You see, it made Johnny mighty distressed to see his mother bathing him with pure, gentle ivory soap and then turn right around and wash her dishes with strong soaps that made her hands rough and scratchy. So little John Lawrence thought and thought about how he could help his mother and get her to use ivory for her hands. He even grabbed that big white cake of ivories that floated by in his tub and tried to hand it to her. And one day, his efforts were rewarded. His mother began to think about how good ivory felt her hands when she bathed Johnny every day. It wasn't long before Johnny could see a big cake of ivory floating in her dishpan. And say, is Johnny happy about that? Why, he's fairly bursting with pride over his mother's hands now. They're so much softer since she gave up strong soaps and changed to ivory. So thank you, Master John Lawrence Aston. And because you're such a good salesman for ivory soap, Mr. Meter's going to play a little tune for you on the organ. Here it is. Tom, Tom, the Piper's Son. That was Ivory Soap's greeting to little John Lawrence Aston from Los Gatos, California, who taught his mother to use ivory soap in the dishpan and help her hands stay nice. It's not surprising, is it, friends, that a soap that's safe for a baby's skin will be kind to your hands in the dishpan. And what's more, ivory's thrifty for dishes. Costs less than a penny a day. Philip Cameron left Hawthorne this morning for a business trip to New York. He had intended to leave for home again at the end of the day. But it happened that his business conference took him near the Flamingo Apartments in Midtown New York, where Lucretia was expecting to hear from him today in answer to a note she mailed last night, addressed to Philip at his Hawthorne office. On an impulse, Philip asked Lucretia to have dinner with him tonight. In a New York office, Philip Cameron waits for a report on a telephone call to Hawthorne.
No answer at my home?
No, Mr. Cameron.
Ask them to try to reach Mrs. Cameron at Harper University, will you, Miss Wade? Harper University?
Yes, in Old Hall. I just did, Mr. Cameron.
Oh, really? Sorry, I guess I didn't hear you.
They'll call back right away.
Okay, that's fine. Look here, I hope I'm not taking up too much of your time with this work.
Oh, no, indeed. Mr. Cornell won't have many letters for me today. I'm only too glad to help you.
Well, that's really nice of you. Now, let's see.
Oh, by the way, You know that Mr. Cornell called a meeting with the other attorneys for 3:30 this afternoon?
Yeah, I got the message.
And if they should want to meet in the morning as well?
That'll be all right. I'm staying until tomorrow, after all.
Oh, I see. That's fine. Now, you want me to check this material with you?
If you will, please. Just to be sure I've got all the data I need for the meeting. I'll take it. It's probably the call to Hawthorne.
Oh, yes. Well, then I'll be...
No. Don't go. This won't take a minute. Hello?
Hey, it's Mrs. Cameron.
Hello?
Hello? Philip?
Yes, hello, Chris. Where are you?
Well, I'm in my office at school.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't sure where they finally reached you.
Nothing wrong, is there, darling?
No. I just called to let you know that I'm afraid I can't get home tonight after all.
Oh, really, Phil? Oh, that's too busy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But it looks as if we'll have to have another meeting in the morning on this case.
Oh, what a shame, Phil. I just saw Mother a little while ago, and she said the Harveys had asked if we wouldn't like to come over and take a swim in their pool tonight.
Darling, that's too bad. Well, why don't you go anyway?
Well, I may. Lynn and Kathy are going, and Mother, so maybe I will. It's so beastly hot today. How's it up there?
Awful.
Oh, darling, what a shame. And you have to stay there. You'll try to get back early tomorrow, then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you bet. Look, Chris, why don't you stay over at the family's place tonight?
Well, maybe I will. It'll be cooler than the apartment, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Well, have a good time tonight, Chris. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, darling. But we'll miss you.
I hope you do. Goodbye, Chris. See you tomorrow.
Bye, darling.
Now then, let's have a look at these papers.
The evening is sultry in Hawthorne. Professor Allen's house is very quiet. The professor has just been foraging in the icebox. And upstairs in the professor's study, Mark Scott is seated alone at his desk. A green-shaded study lamp throws a bright gleam on the paper he is reading. The rest of the room lies in moist, airless gloom. Tiny beads of perspiration form on Mark's forehead, and his hair is damp and heavy. Against the screens of the open windows, pale moths of many sizes beat a soft and almost soundless drumming. And a big blue fly, insane with rage, sweeps into the light and back through the dark areas of the room in huge, feverish circles. Now and then, Mark looks up from his reading and starts as though he meant to do something about the blue fly, but each time he sinks down in his chair again.
Well, Mark, this was all that my raid netted me, but at any rate, it's very cold.
Well, that's fine.
The next time we consent so glibly to excuse all the feminine members of the household this evening, I think that we should go with them.
Yes, we really should.
And which would you prefer, Mark? The strawberries or the pudding? Mixed fruit, Dorothy.
Well, it really doesn't matter, Professor.
Come, come, Mark, which do you like best?
The strawberries. Unless you'd rather have
them. No, I much prefer the pudding. There you are.
Thank you.
This should make us forget the heat, at least for the moment.
Yes, it should.
You were in much better spirits earlier this evening, Mark.
Yes, but I've been reading the paper.
Paper? Oh, the newspaper. Yes. It's not a pretty picture of one's fellow men, is it?
You know, there's something rather ironic in our working on this book, Professor.
How so, Mark?
Well, here we are digging up the writings that, well, that we feel have the strongest effect in leading man upward from barbarism into the sunlight of a better life.
Yes?
And just look at the kind of a world we're asking to read these ennobling thoughts and writings.
Well, I would say that precisely at a moment like this in history, there's need for calling man's attention to his high destiny.
Sometimes I wonder if it's worth the trouble.
Mark, you are in a depressed mood tonight.
But doesn't it seem that way to you, Professor Allen? In the face of what's happening before our very eyes, doesn't it seem like a futile to put any hope at all in man's high destiny? Is man worth saving? That's the question I can't help asking my own mind.
I think it would help you to find the answer to that question, Mark, if you'd bring it closer to home.
Well, gosh, aren't those things close enough to us now?
Now, that's not what I mean. You ask, is man worth saving? I say you should frame the question like this. Are the people I know, the people I'm closest to, are they worth saving? You should say, is Kathy, is that old bookworm Professor Allen worth saving? Is Christie?
Oh, I know. You're right, Professor, as usual. Nobody has any right to lose heart.
Well, as to that, I think... What was that?
Why, it sounds like...
Gentlemen, are you home?
Why, it is, Christy.
My word, they're back early.
Hi. Aren't you two dead of heat?
Well, if we are, it's escaped our notice.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, Mark. You two should have been with us. Oh, it was heavenly.
Have you all returned?
Uh-huh. Cool as a tray of ice cubes. Aren't you jealous?
I can see we may as well give up any idea of work for this evening, Mark.
I should say so. You're both wanted downstairs.
Hmm?
Ice cream.
Ice cream? Mm. How does that sound to you, Mark?
Well, it sounds awfully good, Professor Allen.
You too, pretending you're starved. As if I can't see you've just raided the icebox.
Oh, oh, that. Just a lonely little repast, my dear.
Of course.
Not to be compared with a dish of ice cream in the company of three beautiful ladies.
Heavens, come on downstairs and make that speech. Come on, Mark.
Right with you, Josie.
Just for a fleeting moment, as she walked down the stairs with her father and Mark, Christy thought to herself that this might be, not tonight, but a year ago, 2 years ago, before she'd ever seen Philip Cameron. But then, of course, she thought of Philip, who had to stay in New York tonight in this awful, oppressive weather. As for Mark, when they were all gathered around the porch table a little while later, he glanced up to see the professor looking at him over a spoonful of chocolate ice cream. The professor raised his eyebrows and questioned, plainly asking,
"Is all this worth saving, Mark?"
And Mark's quick smile plainly answered,
"Worth saving, Professor. And it will never die."
If you had to choose a soap to be alone on a desert island with, well, you certainly wouldn't be making any mistake to choose Ivory. Ivory's kind to everything it touches, you know. It's pure enough for a baby's skin, and it'll help your hands stay smooth and soft in spite of daily dishwashing. And if you want to help your hands look really nice, be sure you use Ivory regularly for dishes. Don't go switching back and forth to strong soaps and risk making your hands rough and scratchy. Think what would happen if you used a strong soap on baby skin sometimes. But you'll want to stick to Ivory when you see how wonderfully thrifty it is for dishes. It costs less than a penny a day to wash dishes with Ivory and help your hands stay nice. So won't you stock up with a supply of those thrifty large-size cakes today and be kind to your hands every time you wash dishes.
I should have told Chris I'm having dinner with Lucretia. Well, I'll certainly tell her when I get back home. Now, why the dickens didn't I tell her this afternoon on the phone? Well, Miss Wade was there, and there wasn't time for long explanations. Wade wouldn't have stayed in the room if I hadn't told her to. Oh, for Pete's sake, tie your tie, Cameron, and forget it. You'd think there was some reason why I want to keep a secret engagement with Lucretia.
While Philip Cameron questions his own reasons for having neglected to tell Christy about his appointment for tonight, Lucretia prepares to tell him about Peter Alden tomorrow in Against the Storm. This is Irwin Darlington saying goodbye for the makers of Ivory Soap. 99 and 44, 100% pure. It floats.